doing the whole 6010.
Oh, hey, Field Yates.
Hey, Daniel Dopp. What's going on, man? Welcome into our live Q&A show presented by Geico, Body Armor, and NFL Sunday Ticket. I am Field Yates, as Daniel just alluded to. It's a great evening to be joined by not just you, Daniel Dopp, but the man who not only has four jerseys behind his head, but is responsible for all of our projections. And not just the good ones, but the times when he says you're going to win and then you don't. Mike Clay, what's going on, Michael?
Hey. What's going on, fellas?
Not too much. Who are we rocking by? See Drew Brees, Chris Carson, Aaron Rodgers, DJ Chark. Do you have just a massive collection of jerseys and you cycle through them, Mike, or are these the only four?
No, I have an embarrassing amount of jerseys that I've collected in my years as a sports fan. So I have a bunch hanging up down here in the basement. I have some put away as well. And, you know, they go, there's some bizarre ones. I mean, I'm talking Stephen Hill and Bobby Hoying, Ty Detmer, going back to my Eagles days as a fan as a kid. So they're kind of all over the place.
Okay. Well, Mike has the world's largest jersey collection. I did not know that until right now. And it's so wonderful to be joined by all of you, over 300 people hanging out in this Zoom right now. And we appreciate the support of all those who listen to the podcast daily and also those who have been patient with us. We would love nothing more than to be out on the road right now. But as you are all aware, COVID is not permitting that. So we are settling for the next option, which is us doing a Zoom Q&A. So what we're going to do is rip through as many of your questions as we can. We'll let Mike handle the easy questions and I'll take the more challenging ones. And the first question comes from, if I'm not mistaken, Kerr Frazier. Hopefully, I'm assuming that the names were listed, or maybe it's Frazier or Kerr. It's tough to tell because the next person has a first name and a last name that could be interchangeable. Oh, so let's pretend like it's Frazier Kerr. What do you think, Daniel?
I think it's Frazier Kerr.
Frazier Kerr. Okay. Well, Frazier Kerr comes from Fairfield, California. In a $200 salary cap league, would you prefer James Robinson for $16 or Antonio Gibson for $26? Mike, I'll let you start off because I know you love yourself some Antonio Gibson.
I do. So I'm going that direction here. The price difference is nice. I usually want to take the cheaper guy there, and with ETN out, Robinson's looking more like possibly a solid RB2. But we don't know what there's uncertainty with Jacksonville. We don't really know what they're going to do. We don't know if they're going to acquire another running back at this point. So I'm gonna pay up for, $26 for Gibson. It's not a huge number by any means. And I believe in this guy. I think he has a massive ceiling. We know we could rely on him. So for me, easy call, fellas. I'm going Robinson. I'm going Gibson.
I know you're going to go Gibson, Mike. It's okay. Don't worry.
I'm just warming up.
You're recording this
season for me too. All right.
I'm going to blast this out to all my Twitter followers. Daniel's going to do the same thing. Matthew's going to put it on TikTok. There it is. Mike Clay hates Antonio Gibson. I would tend to agree, by the way, Mike. However, what I will say is, Frazier, is that you've got two good options here. Like, if you think that Mike and I are both crazy and you want to stick with James Robinson for $16, that's a value that a month ago might have looked a little bit less obvious. Now, a really good value. Next question comes from Nash Allison, who comes from Ohio. Who is your favorite late round insurance backs, and which of the top 10 picks do you believe is the most injury prone? All right, Mike, I'll go back to you only because you are the person that is responsible for doing the top insurance backs piece on ESPN.com.
Yeah. So it says here late round, right? So, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say Tony Pollard and, he's going in about the 10th round. I guess Alex Madison's kind of fallen down a little bit later. So 13th round, if he can get him late, he's good too. Those are kind of the obvious ones. But some guys that going a little deeper right now, Ramondre Stevenson, I don't know if he's going to have any standalone fantasy value early in the season, but you can get him pretty late in drafts. And if something happens to Damian Harris, potentially he'll have some value. But again, his value is kind of rising since they traded Sony Michel. So we'll see where he lands. And I think this one kind of ties into part two of this question, which is Devontae Booker, right? I mean, I've kind of been on Saquon Barkley this offseason. You guys have given me a hard time about it. I've drafted him a lot. I'm very invested in him this year. but I'm also aware that he can miss a week or two or be, you know, limited to some extent early on. And if he does miss time, Devontae Booker, you would imagine, would step into a role that should see him handle about 17 touches a game. So Booker is a guy you can get super late. He's on my radar. Darrington Evans, Rashad Penny, Justin Jackson, Damian Williams. There's a whole bunch of guys in that range, but those are some of my favorites.
Yeah, Mike, we didn't need every insurance back, just the top ones.
Gosh.
Jeez, yeah.
Those are the top ones. Come on,
Gary
man.
Matthew of you.
Come on, get with it.
Let's move to the next question here. And this one comes from Nathan Orlando in Buffalo, who wants to know, if you have the fourth pick and you assume that Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, and Alvin Kamara go ahead of him, or ahead of that fourth pick, who are you taking, Derrick Henry or Ezekiel Elliott? Daniel, I'll turn to you.
Derrick Henry.
Interesting.
I'm taking Derrick Henry, and it's not really that close to me. I mean, he's clear number four to me over Zeke as a five. Just the volume that he gets every single year, you never have to worry about that. You know that he's just a lock. Also, Mike, you're pretty conservative with your projections, I would say, generally. Is that a fair statement to say? And you've got Derrick Henry projected to have like 1,700 rushing yards and double-digit touchdowns. The dude's just a monster. He's just money in the bank, it feels like, every single year. So for me, I take Derrick Henry over Zeke, and it's not that close.
I think it's close, but I go with Derrick Henry as well. And, you know, the Derrick Henry volume, and I mean, Zeke's volume is also incredible. It's just that Derrick Henry has more touchdown upside and more rushing upside, but Zeke not that far behind because he is the far more involved pass catcher in his offense. So let's move forward to the next question, which comes from Shub Duby from Nashua, New Hampshire. Who's the better value? Javonte Williams, Trey Sermon, two rookies, second round pick and Javonte Williams, third round pick and Trey Sermon. Mike, which of those two players do you believe is the better value?
Yeah, well, again, in 12-team leagues over the past week or so, you have Williams going in the fourth round. You have Sermon in the seventh. So, you know, we're talking value. Obviously, price matters. I would still go Javonte Williams. And the reason is I think that he is the better shot to emerge as the feature back and impact back. This guy was almost a first-round pick this year. Tons of talent. Love him as a prospect. And you have a Denver offense that's going to lead on the run. I think he could take control and be a top-end fantasy asset. You know, Sermon, for me, you know, it's just harder. Whereas Williams and Melvin Gordon are going to share a lot of that workload. And I think Williams could pull ahead. I think Sermon is, you know, kind of clearly the backup early on. It's going to be the Raheem Mostert show, and he'll have some involvement. He'll get some touches, but not standalone value. Whereas I think Williams can have that right away. So I have not been on Sermon this year. I think he needs help to jump onto the fantasy radar. Whereas Williams, I think, will have it pretty quickly.
I feel the same way here. And you talk about some of the factors that need to go in Trey Sermon's favor. It's not just that Raheem Mostert either gets injured or stops playing well. It's that other backs in that backfield stop playing well or get hurt as well. Jeff Wilson is, I believe, on PUP to start the year. He could eventually come back. So it could be that Trey Sermon takes over for a few weeks. And the next thing you know, it's back to a split backfield. Whereas in Denver, we're already seeing some signs. The team released Royce Freeman today, a former third-round pick. So all of a sudden, things are looking a little bit more up for our friend Javonte Williams. Really talented guy, one of two North Carolina running backs to be drafted this past year. Next question comes from Damian Barbaro.
I like this
question. Central Falls, Rhode Island. Ooh, this is a good one. Can Michael Thomas be a top 10 points per game wide receiver in PPR with Winston at quarterback for the year? Daniel, you get the first shot at this one.
So here's what's interesting to me. The idea of top 10 points per game, right? So it's not the, you know, Michael Thomas's missed time isn't going to factor in here. The idea that Jameis Winston has 6 weeks with this offense to be able to kind of get things settled and have Michael Thomas come in and be the guy. Yeah, I mean, do I think it's possible? Absolutely. He's got the skill set. Jameis Winston is more than adequate enough of a quarterback to be able to get him the ball with the volume that he needs to have. Whether or not it happens, I'm not sure. But like, does it have the possibility? Absolutely. I would bet it doesn't happen, but it absolutely could. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I would say no. I agree. I think it's possible. I mean, he's Michael Thomas, right? And Jameis Winston is just freewheeling and dealing enough and. You know, sometimes we have this recency bias where we forget exactly how things played out. But Drew Brees was not particularly effective last year as a player. 2 years ago, he wasn't peak Drew Brees, but he also wasn't necessarily quite – he's certainly far from washed. So it's not always – like dominant wide receiver seasons are not particularly – are not always predicated upon dominant quarterback play as well.
Calvin Johnson can attest to that, Field Yates.
Yes, Calvin Johnson can certainly attest to that. So I think it's possible. I think it's probably unlikely, but I think it's possible. It's like a lukewarm way of describing it. So, but I think we've talked about this plenty on the podcast is that like his value is dipping. Like his ADP seems to be dropping. So you're probably like, I think there's less risk with drafting Michael Thomas than some might suspect.
I would agree with
Daniel,
that.
Daniel, I want to ask the next question in a minute, but I believe you have some words for some friends.
Yeah, I'm going to jump in real quick. Hey, football fans, this is to all of you, especially here on the podcast. I want to tell you that NFLSundayTicket.tv is like having a front row seat to every live out-of-market game every Sunday afternoon. No matter where you live, streamed right to your favorite device, and this season, that means 18 weeks of glory and more games than ever before. Visit NFLSundayTicket.tv and order today. You can use the promo code FFF2021 at checkout. That'll help you save 15%. That's FFF2021 at checkout to save 15%. Select international games excluded. Eligibility restrictions apply. Compatible devices required. Data charges may apply as well. Thank you to our friends over at Sunday Ticket to be able to help make this live show possible. We were super excited to be able to have them on board for this.
No doubt about that. Very much appreciate all their efforts. Daniel, should I go to the next question here?
I think so. You know, can I tell you that I really want to go to the question from Brandon? Is that fair?
You can do whatever you want. Your podcast, as far as I'm concerned.
Wow, Phil G, that means a lot. Phil, Mike, I want to ask you this question. This comes from Brandon Armstrong in Timonium, Maryland. Clay's projections vary from rankings. What are the pros and cons of projections versus rankings, Mike? This is a question that I don't want to say we get a lot, but I know that sometimes once people realize that you do the projections on the site, it's something that comes up where it's, why doesn't your projections specifically follow all the rankings that you have?
I can't tell you. It's a trade secret, Daniel.
Oh, okay. My goodness, Mike. Wow. Get him off the podcast.
Seriously.
Elizabeth, can we get him off this right now? The guy's not even going to give the people what he wants. What kind of show is this? I'm just looking at these nice tweets from people who are tweeting at us right now and saying they're having a great time on this live Zoom. And here we are, Mike, who's just going to go ahead and torpedo the entire effort. By the way,
I am.
Continue to tweet at us. We appreciate the support.
Absolutely. No, I'm just kidding. I get asked this question a lot, too. Look, first of all, they're going to be very close. That's number one. I mean, you're not going to see anything that's crazy off the reservation, especially in the early rounds of your draft, because, you know, certainly if I think a guy is going to score more than the other guy, it's going to make more sense that I'm going to rank him ahead. However, there's a couple of things to consider. One of them is injury rate, right? Like if a guy's projected to miss some games, we have to factor that in. So his projection is going to be lower. He'll be ranked a little bit higher. You're not taking a zero when that player's out. So there's some replacement level added in. And as you get deeper into the draft, it becomes more about upside, right? I mean, you can, we talk about this all the time, guys that have kind of a high floor and are, you know, they're always going to see four or five targets a game, but they're never really going to get past that, right? So sure, they might be wide receiver 42 by season's end, but did they really help you win most weeks? You think about a guy like a Russell Gage last season, right? Where did he finish last season? 37th Russell Gage was in fantasy points. But did you feel great starting him most weeks? Of course not.
No.
So, you know, those kind of guys are going to exist. You're going to see that in projections, a guy that's just consistently seeing a 10-12% target share. But then there's other guys like, say, Kadarius Toney, first round pick this year. We don't expect him to maybe play a ton early in the season. But if he gets that promotion and he starts playing every down, he immediately jumps up into maybe the flex consideration, or maybe he's the next superstar in the NFL and you're starting him every single week. Think about late round flyers and guys like, you know, like a T. Higgins last year who had a few guys ahead of him. It took some time for that target share to get up there. So that's really what it's about. Justin Fields and Trey Lance, another great example of this, right? They're not going to have super high projections because we don't expect them to play for a few weeks into the season. So if you just sort by projections, they're going to be very low. But when you factor in, you know, startable weeks, are these guys that I could play at some point this season? That's why you would make that upside pick late in your draft, despite the low projected point total. So projection, super important, a great starting point. I build a lot of what I do around that, but you have to be aware of other variables other than just projected points.
Daniel, can I take 30 seconds? And I promise everybody out there, all 357 of you that are here, and just brag on Mike Clay. Can we do it for a second?
Yeah, freaking do it, man.
There are so many great people out there that are covering fantasy football. Mike Clay is the engine. He's the engine of this ESPN operation. No one produces more content. Mike Pours is every bit of his heart that isn't going to his lovely family, his beautiful daughters and his wife into fantasy football, their projections. The next time I hear Mike Clay complain will be the first time. Those projections, I get it. It's an impossible task. But what you do, Mike, in getting those set up, I went in to work on my rankings for week one today thinking I would just start rating guys randomly. Patrick Mahomes probably near the top of the quarterbacks. And Mike had already had those finished. I texted Mike about it. He said, oh, yeah, I've had those out there the entire offseason. He never stops. He's a machine. He's the best. That might have been 35 seconds. but that's okay. Mike is worth
it. All right, what was that? I was doing something else.
Oh, wow.
Just talking about how Matthew is my favorite fantasy analyst at ESPN.
You're the worst.
I'm just kidding. I appreciate that field. You know, I love both of you guys, two extremely hard workers field. One of the best in the business. Daniel's okay, but, you know, love you guys. And I appreciate you saying that, man. That's awesome.
Of course, Mike. We love having you on the show. So let's move forward, shall we, Daniel, to Esteban?
Yeah, let's do it.
Esteban Zamora from Laredo, Texas. And I guess we have to ask Mike this question as well. Is he is an Eagles fan. Do you have optimism for Miles Sanders to be a top 10 running back this season with the new head coach and offensive coordinator? Actually, Mike, let me offer my thoughts and then you chime in. I think this year more than ever, we have to be mindful that when you're looking at a team's roster, it's not just the players on the 53-man roster. It's also who's on the practice squad. So on the one hand, you say, oh, the Eagles only have three running backs. That's a good sign. For all we know, Jordan Howard, who is on the practice squad, could be elevated the day of week one. So I'm not as convinced that this is like less of a, like, I don't think that Miles Sanders is a, no doubt about it, lock it in workhorse. I just think that he is, I thought he is appropriately ranked as a mid-tier RB2. And the reality is that any mid-tier RB2 has a chance for a top 10 season, Mike. It's just going to come down to, I think, three things for me with Miles Sanders. One, and this is obvious, stays healthy. Two, he cures some of the drops that seemed to be a little bit of an issue last year in the passing game. And then three, he outscores whatever his rushing touchdown projection is from you, because he's not a hammer. He's not a Derrick Henry where you just sort of bank on 10 or 12 per season. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm in on Miles Sanders. I have been all offseason. He's fallen down to the fourth round over the past few weeks or so, which has surprised me. I'll take him all day long. Look, there's a lot of things to like, and one of them doesn't have to be that he's a bell cow back, right? There's not very many of them in the NFL, right? We can go through running team after team. You know, there's going to be multiple backs involved for sure. So, you know, again, all offseason, I've had him projected with about half of their designed runs and about, say, 10% of the targets, maybe 10, 12%. And that's going to be enough for him to put up mid-range running back two numbers. Look, this is a guy who, yes, he struggled. He definitely struggled as a pass catcher last year, but he missed some time. The offense was a mess. Like pretty much everyone struggled. So I'm not going to hold that too much against him, because as a rookie, he was seventh among running backs in receiving yards, right? He was much better in that department. He was also second last season in yards per carry. In terms of explosive running backs, big play running backs, there's a very short list of those guys that are ahead of Miles Sanders, right? He has, I think you actually have the stat field, right? I think you've helped me out here with this before, where he has like the most explosive plays in the league over the past season or two, like 60 plus yard runs. I think he had like four last year. So the guy can make big plays. He can catch the football, and I'm not really worried about Boston Scott and Kenny Gainwell and honestly, Jordan Howard as major threats. I think it should be the Miles Sanders show here.
Miles Daniel? Sanders and Jalen Hurts show. But yes, I think I agree with you.
Okay, yeah. Cool.
That's part of the big conversation. And I don't want to like derail this, but I think part of the way that I feel with Miles Sanders is because I don't know what Jalen Hurts is. I'm not saying that Jalen Hurts is Lamar Jackson, but like J.K. Dobbins' value is lowered or was before the season in injury because of that. So I think that's sort of just baked in, like you were saying, Field. That's baked into Miles Sanders' price, and I think he's just appropriately ranked.
Yep. I like that. Appropriately ranked, one of my favorite topics this,
yeah.
One of my favorite sort of tricks this preseason.
That's good.
Here's another one. This one comes from Emil Thomas in Boston. Shout out Boston, my hometown. Shout out to you, Emil. Does your fantasy draft strategy change at all when you're drafting on the turn? First or last pick? Thank you. You are welcome. I'll go to you, Daniel. What do you think?
Change absolutely.
We did a mock draft today. Where'd you pick?
I picked at two. And it makes a big difference for me when I'm drafting at the turn in one big way. I'm always looking at, because it's such a long drought coming back to you after you make your second pick on that turn, of what do the teams in front of you have? And do I need to be aware of any runs that may take place at a position that I want to grab somebody in? And if I don't do it now, that run's going to happen and it's not going to make its way back to me. So I don't, you know, from a strategy position, it's only about being aware of what my roster looks like and what the rosters in front of me look like, so that I can kind of be aware of, will this run happen? And do I need to be cognizant of it in order to figure out who I want to take in this spot?
Fair enough. Mike, any thoughts on the picking on the turn one way or the other? Well, I guess, yeah, the front or the back.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I did a draft last night with our friend Matthew Berry, and he picked at the 12-13 turn and he was not happy. He was pretty infuriated that entire draft. So he might have a different answer than I would, because he was not happy about that at all. But I guess, you know, in a nutshell, really, it's no, you know, it doesn't change much. I'm still going to take the best players when I'm on the board. You could say maybe you're paying a little bit closer attention, Daniel, to, you know, what may come off the board, you know, over the next 20 picks or whatever it may be. But I think you should always be doing that. You should always be aware of what could be picked in the next, you know, whatever amount of picks it is till you're up. That should always kind of drive your decision making as you try to maximize your team. So I guess that's something I'm always kind of thinking about. You know, I that's pretty much a simple answer. I don't have anything more complicated than that. Every time a player is picked, your board should change a little bit in your mind. You're always kind of adjusting value of players and looking for the best name on the board.
And I don't want to disagree with you there because I completely understand what you're saying. I think for me, the idea is when you are looking at it, maybe I'm wrong. I can totally be wrong. This is just like, I don't want to say a gut call, but I feel like a lot of time runs happen at the beginning or end of the round. Someone starts it usually towards like the beginning of a, you know, it's the top of the fourth and someone wants to start taking quarterbacks. So now all of a sudden, you know, everybody goes, but that's just me. That's just me.
I think you made that up.
Okay, that's fair. You know what I didn't make up though, Mike Clay? Can I ask you?
Yes.
I didn't make up. Oh, dang it. Nope. I entered into this really poorly. Shoot. Mike, do you own or rent your home?
I do.
Sure you do. And I bet it can be both hard of them. Work too. But you know what's easy? Bundling policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. And it's a good thing too, because you already have so much to do around the house. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All right, Daniel, let's keep on moving. Things rolling here with more questions. Do you want to just keep going? And you know what? This is a fun one here. Kevin Hernandez from Sackett's Harbor wants to know Eckler or Kelsey at number 8 to 12-man league. I want to start by asking you this, Mike. You do a lot of mocks, obviously. Are you seeing Travis Kelce last until the 8th pick in most leagues?
Not really. Especially
if you're a good value, right?
Yeah. Especially if you're playing against people who know what they're doing, he's not going to last that far. I mean, a lot of people that do projections or look at replacement level or value-based draft, you're going to see Kelce as really a top 3 pick, maybe top 4 pick. So, you know, that's kind of where he's been going. Sometimes you'll see him at 5 or 6, but if I can get him in that range, I'm going to do it all day long. And to answer the question specifically, I would, in fact, take Kelce ahead of Eckler. You know, I've been projected for like 60 more points than any other tight end. It's a huge gap. He gives you a massive edge. And yes, I know you need multiple players at other positions, but those positions are also deeper than the tight end position. So if you get that massive edge week to week with Travis Kelce, you can win by then attacking the running back position a little bit later. So definitely would lean Kelce here. And by the way, I say definitely, that's definitely what I would do. Eckler is still a terrific we'll say back end RB1, no major qualms with it, but certainly my preference is Travis Kelce.
All righty. Daniel, thoughts there?
Wasn't even paying attention to you. I'm going to agree with Mike Clay because he's a smart guy.
Okay, good. Yeah, the question was whether you're okay with Kelce or Eckler at the 8th pick.
And yes, if Kelce makes it back to me at 8, I'm definitely okay with it there. And Austin Eckler at 8, I feel no problems with, especially in a 12-team league. Yeah,
there you have it. All right, Daniel, take it away for a couple questions. What do you think?
Yeah,
I want you to run point for a second.
I want to know Lindell Eady from Saratoga Springs, New York. Having the start of the season barbecue, are you going potato salad or macaroni salad?
Ooh, potato salad. But I do love macaroni salad. Dang. What do you think, Mike? Dang, this is just that's not fair. You can't ask me that.
Can I cross them both out and sub something else in?
Like, whoa, what would you sub in?
Not a big potato macaroni salad fan, I'll be honest with you. But if I had to pick, I would go potato. If I had to vote officially.
I think I would too. This one comes from Dylan Hoffman in Ann Arbor, Michigan. For former rookie wide receivers like Ruggs and Rager, do you tend to avoid them or see them as a value heading into this year? Mike, let's start with you, just because Jalen Rager is on your Eagles, and maybe we could talk about that.
Fine, but I want to do more food questions then.
Okay, that's fine. I'll do another one.
I like food.
Sure.
So the answer to this, I look, this should not be debatable. I hope no one says avoid to this, right? Because this is how championships are won in fantasy football. When you get to the later rounds, why would you not take a chance on a volatile prospect, right? This is exactly what you want to be doing. You get into the double digit rounds, You're looking to fill out your bench. You're looking for league winning players, not guys that could just hold down the fort for you for a bye week later in the season. You want guys that could bust, sure, and you could cut them loose and add someone else, or they could go off and have a huge season. Think about a DJ Chark sort of player a yep. couple of years ago who fits this bill. He was a second round pick. The list goes on and on over the years of players that you take late and work out. It could be rookies, like, again, Justin Jefferson, T. Higgins, I mentioned him before, guys like that last season, or it could be them second-year guys who people are kind of souring on. Rigger and Henry Ruggs are terrific late-round targets. I have them on quite a few teams. First-year and second-year players picked in the first, second, or third round, so day one or day two, those are the kind of guys you need to have your eyes on in the late rounds.
Okay, love that. Field, I want to ask you a question from Ryan DiTullio from Fountain in South Carolina in a super flex league. And for those that don't know, a super flex league means the flex position can be a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, or tight end. So any of those four positions. In a super flex league, are you looking to get two stud quarterbacks or one stud quarterback and then wait a little bit and just get a serviceable quarterback as your number two?
Yeah, let the board present itself, right? But I'm almost always good with going with, if you have a top three pick and you get a, you can, I'm, as I said earlier in the podcast, I think if you can get any of Christian McCaffrey, Patrick Mahomes, Dalvin Cook, that's fine by me.
Yep. I think I agree with that. Okay. This one comes from Quinn Myers, Antioch, Tennessee.
Myers, like the Broncos center?
It might be from Quinn Myers. Is it wise to draft? Oh, look at that. See, this is why it's not fair, because you just know everybody in the NFL. Is it wise to draft two of the top three tight ends with two of the first three picks? We have a lot of questions about, like, hey, if I go Kelce early, should I grab Waller and Kittle and just have total position, you know, dominance? I would love to know, Mike, from a strategy perspective, what you think about that.
No, it's a no for sure. Getting one of those top guys is fine because you're going to get a huge edge at the tight end spot. But if you take the second one, you're really only hurting one other team, and it's the team that would have taken the player you took. And I say that because you're hurting yourself by doing that. For example, so let's say you take Travis Kelce, right? I have him projected at about 300 points. That's about up there with the top running backs and receivers. Darren Waller, 240. And that's a very high projection for a tight end. And still, that ranks around wide receiver 15, running back 13. Then if you go down, you set up the top three, right? George Kittle's around 225. That's going to put you around wide receiver 25, around running back 20. So think about that. You're going to spend the second or third round pick on that second tight end instead of a player to fill out a running back or receiver slot that's going to outscore that tight end for sure. It just doesn't make sense from a strategy standpoint. So unless you have a two tight end league, then that's fine. That makes sense.
Yeah,
but if different. You have one tight end league and you're talking flex, absolutely not.
Yep. Okay. Field, I want to ask you a question. David Palomares.
I thought you asked if I own or rent my home.
No. From Oxnard, California. Trying to get our fantasy football league commissioner to change league scoring format to PPR. In your opinion, why should leagues use PPR scoring? And or do you believe in PPR over non-PPR? Do you think it's more fun?
What I would say is that PPR adds more players to the game, right? Like, so there are players that, here's an example of somebody, and this is not perfect, but like, I would say that Cole Beasley is valuable in PPR but not so much in non-PPR.
I agree with that.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I totally agree with that. That seems fair to me. Mike, Ian McCormick in Dallas, Texas wants to know, Trey Lance or Justin Fields, which one should I roster? They're both on his waiver wire.
I would say Fields, because I think he'll be the starter sooner. I think San Francisco is going to use both quarterbacks for a while. Jimmy Garoppolo is better than Andy Dalton, so I think it's going to take some time before they make the switch. And again, I could be wrong, but I think that's the way to go. And by the way, I just want to chime in one thing on that PPR question, just to add in that I think real key is, it's a numbers game, right? It's not a real game. So it doesn't really matter if it's realistic that you should get 1 point for one catch, right? Like, is that fair? So, but we're playing a numbers game, right? So that you want more skill and less variance. If you have an extra scoring category like that, you know, it takes more skill to project catches, and then you can get an edge on your league mates that way. So I just wanted to throw that my two cents in there. I think that that's one way to reduce some variance in your game is by having that extra category.
So what you're saying is all the wrinkle brains use PPR and all the smooth brains use non-PPR.
You said it.
All right. Wait, what do you mean you said it? Well, that's such a crappy way to get out of it, but still in agreement with my comment.
If the non-PPR people come after me, I could say you said it. I didn't agree or disagree.
That's all right. You know why the people can come after me? Because I got body armor. Oh,
there it is.
Guys, fantasy football season is right around the corner.
Wow, James nailed that one.
More of what you love, the teams, the rivalries, the stats, and trash talking friends. And your favorite fantasy stars like Kyler Murray, Christian McCaffrey, CeeDee Lamb, and Baker Mayfield, they all rely on body armor to get them to the next level and perform at their best and give you the trash talking points that you need. Hey guys, this fall is a great time to up your game too, and body armor has got you covered. Everybody, mostly everybody, but definitely Field, Mike, and I, is focused on staying active and healthy, and hydration is a huge important part of that. It's more than just a sports drink. It's made with potassium-packed electrolytes, antioxidants, and there are no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes, which is great. And now through December 31st, buy any one Body Armor product, upload your receipt at www.bafootballtailgate.com, and you'll be entered for a chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. No purchase necessary, void where prohibited, open to residents of the U.S., 18 and older. Reminder, that's www.bafootballtailgate.com for your chance to win one of hundreds of amazing prizes for your next tailgate. All right, Field, let's take a couple more here. Let's rip through a few. Are you good with that?
Let's do it, Daniel. Let's do it to it. I'll be the host again as we rip through some more of these. Do you want to do it by like location? We've got California, Florida, Texas. Here's one. And you know what? This is a philosophy question. So let's dive into it here. Okay. This comes from Joel Martinez in San Antonio, Texas. What round are y'all grabbing quarterbacks in? And who are you selecting? So the second part of this question is probably a little bit more difficult for me because it just depends on how the rest of the league goes. Is it fair? And you guys are the ones to tell me whether it's fair or not. I don't want to take a quarterback with either of my first two picks. And the only way that I'm taking a quarterback with my third pick would be if I have like the 10th or 11th pick in my draft. So I'm at the back end of the third round and Patrick Mahomes slides there. Mike, would you take a quarterback assuming normal scoring? First or second round? Is the third round too early? What's sort of your sweet spot?
Yeah, I think that's sort of what the person asking the question is looking for, right? Like when should they attack quarterback? When should they get away from the other positions and think about the quarterback position? So, you know, Mahomes, Allen, Murray, we're talking 12 team leagues again. We're going like third, fourth, fifth round. Not really my cup of tea. You know, I'm always keeping an eye on these guys though. If they fall, like you just said, Field, maybe I'm thinking about it, but the hot zone for me is in the fifth, sixth, seventh round. That's where I start looking. Fifth and sixth, I'm looking Lamar Jackson and Dak Prescott. If I can get one of them two in that area, I'm happy. If not, and often I miss on them because I'm attacking receiver, another position, usually receiver in that area, I'll fall back on my next tier, which is Rodgers, Wilson, and Herbert in that order. If I come away with one of those five guys, I am very happy. I don't have to worry about it. I don't really even need a backup at that point. I don't need an upside quarterback. You know, if there's one, if Tua's sitting there late, maybe I take him. Sure, why not? But otherwise, I don't really need to worry about it. I could focus on the other position. So that's really my core five I'm attacking this year.
Okay, that was a much better answer than what I gave you. That sort of like, you know, non-answer. This is a good one here.
Phil, do you mind if I say one thing real fast? I'm really sorry.
I would love nothing more than you to say something.
I appreciate you. I feel like, and I want your opinion on this, it's really hard to talk about where quarterbacks should be drafted because in the mock drafts that we are doing, quarterbacks aren't being drafted until the fourth round, give or take. But in a lot of the ADPs, like, of course, I did a draft with a bunch of buddies back home. Patrick Mahomes went way too early. He went at like the middle of the second round. And I just think a lot of average leagues are going to have that happen. So even in those leagues, though, I'm especially saying wait on quarterback. Take advantage of the people that are taking the quarterbacks early. Wait on quarterback because you still have people that will be available late for you. So
Just,
you know, just saying that.
Sure. No, I totally agree, Daniel. I all of us at ESPN are going to be patient. So, you know, I think that probably using us as your reference point might be different than how your league goes. Probably knowing your league is an important part of the dynamic with your quarterbacks. Which tight end? This comes from Darius Wimby in Atlanta, Georgia. Which tight end outside of the top three do you believe will have a breakout season this year? So the top three are, of course, Kelce, Kittle, and Waller. Candidates, I think, as breakout players, Kyle Pitts, which I've always wondered whether you can actually call a rookie a breakout player, because what's he breaking out from, right? Like, it's he has never played before. I would say TJ Hockenson strikes me as a breakout candidate. You know, I think people on this podcast probably know, I think Jonnu Smith is a breakout candidate. Any of those or others sort of come to mind for you, Mike?
Yeah, you know, you mentioned Jonnu Smith. I've come around on him a lot once Cam Newton was cut loose and they committed to Mac Jones. It's just going to mean a lot more volume for the pass catchers in this offense, and it kind of lifts up everybody, and including the running backs, because they're going to get more goal line work. So I'm more on Jonnu. I've actually moved him up to 9th on my board recently, so totally on board with that one. And then, you know, you know, when I'm looking for breakout guys, I'm thinking like year two generally, or maybe year three for a talented tight end. Adam Trautman has kind of fallen off the radar a little bit. He's dealt with injuries, and Juwan Johnson's kind of come on. So how about the other one, Cole Kmet, right? He's been kind of quiet, more quiet than I thought all offseason. I thought there'd be more hype for him. You can get him pretty late in your draft. And again, who knows? He could come out of nowhere this year, seemingly nowhere, and explode onto the fantasy scene. This is a very talented player, drafted on day two last year there in Chicago. And if you believe in Justin Fields, maybe you should believe in Cole Kmet as well. He'll be one of his top targets.
Wow. If you believe in Justin Fields, who doesn't believe in Justin Fields?
I do.
Mike,
I do.
What else do you believe in, Mike?
Lions fans don't. Lions fans.
Stop it.
Daniel.
Stop it. How long until the Lions are relevant again, Mike Clay? Someone asked us that question
tomorrow.
Here in the.
Well, tomorrow. let's just say this. I'm working on my, mega preview we do for NFL every year, and as part of that, I write a capsule on every team, all 32, rank them 1 to 32, and the Lions aren't very high, Daniel.
Feel
to put it politely, so it's going to be a while. Might be a few years.
I feel like Mike Clay just hates my team, but also I feel like everyone in America feels like
it's
Mike
very
Clay
personal.
Just hates
their team. No, Matthew is truly personal towards your Lions, right? Mike is just playfully personal.
Yeah,
so I have a thought here because I know we're sort of pressed up against it for time, Daniel. So I thought, could we end on this one from Daniel? If you're in the document, I'm going to
do it to
Rachel
it,
McKinney from Hillsboro, Oregon. Yep. We should have some fun with this one.
Yep.
Yes. Who is your all-time favorite player and why?
Daniel, go first. I'll be right back. Let Daniel go. I'll be right back.
Mine's Chad Pennington.
Okay, Mike. Who's your favorite player and why?
No, my favorite all-time player has probably got to be Barry Sanders. It's either going to be Barry or Calvin for me as a Lions fan. I just remember watching the Lions games with my dad as a kid and being able to watch Barry do the stuff that he did. And it was so unbelievably exciting that it was just like, he's easily far and away, without question, my favorite player.
Wait, you know what's great is of course, Mike has the jerseys. Come on.
Of course I do. And the bobbleheads.
Oh my gosh.
My guy.
You're so great, Mike.
Chad Pennington, who, you know what? I've heard people comparing Mac Jones to Chad Pennington as of late. It's been nice to hear his name again. I was a big Chad fan. You know, it's such a bizarre one. People are always like, what are you talking about? Why Chad Pennington? But I just remember him being kind of an overachiever, right? And just with the Jets, especially, just picking defenses apart, didn't have a strong arm, always was injured. But when he was out there, man, he was like, kind of like, not to the extent of Drew Brees, but not quite that good. But man, that guy could complete a pass anywhere. I remember him just destroying the Colts in the playoffs one year. Just was always a big fan growing up of Chad. He did so many good things.
I'm going to go with Ed Reed, who is, just has zero limitations to his game. He was the ball hawk of all ball hawks. I love watching him play. I felt like it was the ultimate chess match between he and the opposing quarterback. And, I would have to say it's probably a tie, actually. And the second one is a much more personal connection. It's Eric Berry, who was there when I was scouting in Kansas City. And I've always said that Eric Berry was an amazing player and like a better person, which is one of those phrases we probably we use too frequently. But I truly meant that about Eric Berry. I loved everything about him. He was an inspiration. He has never formally announced his retirement, but he's been out of the league for a couple of years and maybe the football days are over. But I'm just telling you, I expect to see Eric Berry doing something even more notable with the rest of his life than a stellar NFL career.
Field.
Good answer.
I think that's going to be it for us.
That's going to be it? Okay. Well, here's my piece of advice for everybody then. Thank you. First of all, thank you. There's 368 people in this Zoom right now. We truly appreciate you. We are so thankful for all those that support the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. And if you'd be so inclined, continue to hang out with us Monday through Friday on the ESPN, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook feeds, as well as the podcast version, which if you listen to the audio version, you get it Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, you could be a huge part of that. So Mike and Daniel, you guys are the best. Tess and Elizabeth, you guys are also the real MVPs of this. They put together these virtual live shows for us and the live shows when we actually go on the road, which is amazing. I haven't seen anybody. I have not seen them in person for a long time. We cannot wait to get back on the road. But thanks again for coming to our live Q&A show presented by Geico, Body Armor, NFL Sunday Ticket. We'll talk to you guys later.
Peace out.
No secret, not a mystery, the one that we depend on for all our podcast needs. Graduate Full Sail, you a Lions fan through and through, with the hippest beard, I'm telling you, he's Daniel Dopp. Who's that? Who's that squad? Who's that squad?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.